This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
On Tuesday of this week, Dane County District Attorney Ishmael Ozan announced that he would not file criminal charges against Madison Police Officer Matt Kenny. Kenny shot and killed Tony Robinson, an unarmed black 19-year-old, in March of this year.
Throughout the week, Madison has seen vigils and demonstrations, and members of the community have spoken out about racial disparities in the criminal justice system.
Those dramatic disparities between blacks and whites in Dane County have been the subject of public conversation since a 2013 report came out showing that across almost every measurement of well-being, a large gap persists, and the state as a whole has similar disparities.
One of the organizations involved in that conversation has been the Urban League of Greater Madison, and this week they released a plan for addressing these issues moving forward. Here with us now is Reuben Anthony, president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison. Reuben, welcome to Central Time. Hello, Reuben, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Perfect, now I've got you.
Okay.
Well, you have said that the decision in the Tony Robinson case is a defining moment for the community. What did you mean by that?
What I meant by that is that it is a decision that really requires us to pause. And, it's a tragedy. It causes people to grieve all over again. But it was a thorough decision. But it's just a tragedy when a young man's life is taken. You know, so and we have to talk about what can we do on the front end of things like this so that we can make sure that as we move forward as a community, that we don't have other Tony Robinsons. We have to make sure that we have collaboration with community groups to make sure that we address the disparities that have been stated over and over. It's the despair that young black men are facing in Madison and throughout the country that really has caused many to take note and just say, well, when will it stop? You know, the killing of African-American men, not just in Madison, but in this country, seems to be at an epidemic level. And we really need to figure out, you know, what we need to do. But I think that we have to do that on the front end, not on the back end. We have to figure out what we can do to help, you know, create access to opportunities for young men and young people in general in this community.
So when you say on the front end, you're talking about preventing problems before they happen, improving conditions now, and stopping the incident before it happens. Is that right?
That's right. So that means that we definitely have to start early. We have to work with the school system and make sure that young men and young women are progressing through the school system. We have to make sure that we continue to resource programs like the Schools of Hope and other programs to help students progress through school. At the same time, we have to create employment opportunities. A lot of young people are discouraged because they don't have jobs. We have to figure out, you know, how we can create access to opportunities for these young people. But even African-American adults are looking quite a bit for employment, and they're not always finding sustainable jobs. And so we really need to do a better job at helping with economic development and making sure that diversity and inclusion is a part of our strategy for economic development as we move forward. And yesterday we had a conference here in Madison where it focused on regional development and diversity, and I think that's a step in the right direction to start having community conversations about how we can include African-Americans and help African-Americans in this city also view Madison as the best place to live.
Now, earlier you used the word despair. You said there's despair in the African-American community. It sounds like particularly among African-American men. How does that despair translate itself into the issues that we're seeing right now?
Well, I'll tell you, Michael Johnson from the Boys and Girls Club held a youth summit a few weeks ago, and we met with a group of young men, about 50, and we asked the question, what are some of the things that concern you? And they pointed out that longevity concerns them. Maybe about a third of those individuals in the room said that they don't think that they're going to live beyond 21. That's a problem. To me, that's despair. When a young person feels like they don't have a bright future in a place that's being heralded as one of the best places to live in the country. And I don't know how prevalent this is across the races, but I do know that African-American young men and African-American men and women, you know, are struggling here based on the disparity statistics that we see. You know, we have to make sure that we work together to create access to opportunities for education, access to opportunities for housing, access to opportunities for jobs for all who live in this community.
We're talking right now with Reuben Anthony, president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison, talking right now about how Madison, the Greater Madison area as a community, can move forward and prevent issues in the wake of the decision on Tony Robinson and the Tony Robinson shooting. And Reuben, you talked about this as a defining moment. So we've had a little bit of time to deal with this, not a lot, but how would you say the community has responded so far?
I think that a lot of different organizations have come together to talk about, you know, how we can keep this community whole. We know that this is a tragedy, you know, but we have to figure out, you know, how we sit down and how we move forward. So you have the United Way. You have the Boys and Girls Club, you have the NAACP, you have the Greek organizations for African Americans, you have this new Black Leadership Council, and you have policing organizations willing to sit down and talk about, you know, what do we need to do so that we know that these disparities get eradicated. And as long as if we sit down and are honest about the challenges that this community kind of imposes on people of color, and if we're willing to sit down and work through these things and figure out, you know, how we can get beyond these, I think we will make a step forward.
A strong line in the letter you sent recently, you encourage community members to listen instead of trying to be heard. Do you think that some people are doing too much talking and not enough listening?
No, I think that we have to listen. But I think that we have to recognize that there are multiple voices in the African-American community and the community abroad. You know, as we have these challenges, I don't think it's just it's an African-American tragedy, but it's a tragedy also for the community of Madison as a whole. So as we try to resolve issues and disparities, I think that we have to have multiple voices around the table, and that would include, you know, African Americans and other people who really care about removing the disparities that African Americans face.
Do you think that the communities that you're talking about, the organizations, are ready to sit down and have this dialogue? Now we're talking about your organization, Young, Gifted, and Black, the Madison Police Department. Is there a safe space for those conversations to happen?
Well, I can't speak for all the organizations, but I know that there is a lot of talking going on right now among the nonprofit organizations and among government organizations and community groups. And so I think that's a nice step forward, and that's a start. You know, and we start there, and we agree to listen and know that at the end of the day, we all want Madison to be a safe community for everyone and the best place to live in this nation for everyone. And if we can kind of get together and figure out, you know, how we need to do that so that African Americans don't feel threatened by those who are sort of protectors, and at the same time, the community police are sensitized culturally to, you know, how they can do less forceful policing when it comes to African Americans, I think we can make steps forward.
Now, you've joined the newly formed Black Leadership Council in Madison. What's the goal of that organization?
Well, the goal of that organization is to really show that there are multiple voices in the African-American community that are willing to put some skin in the game, roll up our sleeves, and go out and kind of help keep this community strong and keep this community safe. But the bottom line is that this group, you know, demonstrates that we have multiple voices and that we are willing to work to make this a better community.
And we're talking right now to Reuben Anthony, president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison, about racial disparities in the criminal justice system in light of the Tony Robinson decision this week.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234, whether you're in Madison or another community around the state. How are things going where you are? Do you think the police and the criminal justice system treat your community fairly, regardless of race? What kind of changes would you like to see? And if you're African American, do you feel the sense of despair our guest mentioned? Do you see it in your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Reuben Anthony, President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison, talking about racial disparities in the criminal justice system in light of the Tony Robinson decision this week.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to happen to improve relations between police departments and minority communities? What do you see going on in your community, wherever you are in the state? What needs to change, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Chris on the line in Madison. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling because I'm very concerned about the DA's decision and the lack of details of what actually happened that evening. As we know from Pastor Niemöller's quote, in World War II, when he said, first they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist, and then the socialists, and now they've come for me, and there's no one left to speak up. This is an issue that affects us all. And one of the things I've seen being gone from the States for the last 12 years and having moved back, there's not much discussion about the common good and the level of fear we all have from each other. You know, the fact that 7 shots could be fired into someone is astounding to me. And I'd like to know, from Mr. Anthony, where I can get involved, because we have got to bring people together to face our fears and to transcend them so we don't destroy each other.
Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for that call. And Reuben, what would you say to that? Someone who sees this, is disturbed, was looking for a conversation about the common good and wants to get involved.
Yeah, I would say listen out for when, particularly like the faith community, pulls people together. I know Madison Urban Ministry with Everett Mitchell and others pulled together a peaceful march. That would have been an opportunity to participate. There'll be some prayer visuals to bring the community closer together. And Bishop Rayford over the African American Council of Churches would welcome anyone to come into those prayers that, you know, kind of have a prayer for the community. And at the same time, there are other discussions, community discussions that will be going on with Nehemiah, and they have a lot of things where they're really trying to build partnerships across boundaries. And so I just say listen out, and if you can touch bases with us through the Urban League, that might also be an opportunity for us to kind of connect you when we hear that events are going on.
Chris, thank you so much for that call. Appreciate that. And a question for you, Reuben. The Young, Gifted, and Black group that's focusing on criminal justice reform has gotten some criticism, in specific from Chief Koval, for being unreasonable in some of their demands, in specific the demand that the Madison Police Department have no interaction with, this is a quote, our own communities. What do you think of their demands and how they're approaching things?
Well, I'll tell you this. The Young, Gifted, and Black have the right to protest. Everyone has a right to protest. And they've exercised their civil disobedience. And at the last marches that they did, it was a peaceful march. And as long as we can keep the peace at the end of the day, people have a constitutional right to express what they want to express. Not just the Young, Gifted, and Black, but anybody that's disturbed by this situation have a right to express their civil disobedience. That's where I'm talking to say that there's multiple voices surrounding this situation, and different groups will take different approaches. For example, the Black Leadership Council took the approach of playing peacekeepers, during this type during the last few days, and also observers, and so they chose to do it that way. Young, Gifted, and Black chooses to do it another way, but at the end of the day, I think they want the same thing as everybody else. They want this thing to stop. They don't want to continue to have African-American boys or anyone in this community killed at the hands of police or anybody else. So, I mean, you know, it's not time to really kind of pick groups against each other. It's a time for us to sit down and figure out, you know, how can we work together? And how can we be tolerant of different ways of expression?
And how do you begin to do that, to be tolerant of different means of expression?
I think what we have to do, you guys play a big role in that too. Someone does a peaceful demonstration, recognize that they did a peaceful demonstration. And I know there's a lot of hype about the Young Gifted and Blacks demonstration, a lot of words, but at the end of the day, the other day, it was very peaceful. I think one of the things that really helped, during that time is that the day before that, you had the faith community that came out and they demonstrated peacefully. I think that when we sit down and we recognize differences of opinion and allow that expression to occur, as long as at the end of the day that it's not damaging the community and businesses, we have to accept, those things. People have different ways of making their points, but we all care about this community.
Now, nationally, the Urban League has produced a 10-point plan for reforming police practices. Can you tell us some of the biggest goals in that plan?
Well, the Urban League is definitely wanting to have an opportunity for people to express themselves, but here are the 10 points. The first point is that the National Urban League believes that there should be widespread use of body cameras and dashboard cameras. Second, the Urban League has broken window reform and implementation of their 21st century community policing policy. You have to get on the website to look for that. Third, review and revision of police use of deadly force policies, and that's being discussed right now in this city. Fourth, comprehensive retraining of all police officers. Five, comprehensive review and strengthening of police hiring standards. Six, appointment of special prosecutors to investigate police misconduct. Seven, mandatory uniform FBI reporting and audit of lethal force incidents involving all law enforcement. Eight, creation and audit of national databases of citizen complaints against police. Nine, revision of national police accreditation system for mandatory use by law enforcement to be eligible for federal funds. And then 10, national comprehensive anti-racial profiling laws. So those are the 10 points in the National Urban League Justice Plan for police accountability.
And do you see police departments in Wisconsin and Madison and Milwaukee and beyond being receptive to plans like these?
Yeah, I think that the police departments here in the greater Madison area are willing to sit down and talk. You have the United Way. They have a subcommittee that's really looking at the policing policies, and that's going to be chaired by Chief Sue Wrestling and also Everett Mitchell from the University of Wisconsin. And that brings many voices around the table to begin to look at policing policies, not just in Madison, but in the greater Madison area.
Now, you said you want to create a vision, different voices coming together to create a vision for the future to make things better and a vehicle for change. Do you have any time frame in mind about measurable benchmarks when you'd like to start to see things changing?
No, I think we have to start planning for change right away. I think that we can't wait for another situation to occur where we have a tragedy like we had with Tony Robinson. We have to sit down now. This is not a spectator sport. We can't sit, as citizens and just continue to watch policies not work. We can't sit and just watch African-American men be gunned down by the cops. And at the same time, we have to have better policing policy so that the cops are not, under scrutiny and that they can do better community policing.
Take another caller. Now we've got Patrick on the line with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Mr. Rubin, glad to see you're on the show.
Thank you, sir.
I was calling because I see this in the other instances across the nation and even across the water. You got things going over in Israel where there's racism being inflicted on Ethiopian Jews over there. But it's the symptom, as the previous caller called and was talking about, the fear. That's the underlying energy that keeps this thing going. But with blacks, especially in this nation, is you have a group of people that have an identity crisis, and we have the media that keeps fueling deception that these young blacks can't identify with who they really are because the media dictates to them what they should be.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Patrick. And I'm not sure exactly what you mean by identity crisis, but do you hear something in that, Ruben, about the way African-Americans are portrayed in the media right now?
I will tell you the media doesn't do a good job of portraying African-American males. And then there's all these stereotypes that continue to proliferate throughout American society about African-Americans. And so people, you know, kind of have these fearful stereotypes about us. And I just think that we have to work through that, and we have to make sure that as a community, again, that we come together and that we have some honest discussions about what's not working with the policing policy in this country. And if people are willing to do that, I think we can take a step forward. The national backdrop is disturbing. It seems to be an epidemic that every time that you look around, whether it's in Baltimore, whether it's in Ferguson, an African-American is dying, whether it's at the hands of somebody who's concealed carrying it or whether it's at the hands of a police officer that might have used excessive force. So we have to do better in this country because African-Americans and other citizens deserve more.
Now, looking at Dane County in the wake of the Tony Robinson shooting, Dane County is about has about 6.5% of people who are African-Americans, so there are a lot of people who are not in that 6.5%. How do you feel that they have done in talking about issues of race and criminal justice, just briefly?
Those folks that are not in the 6.5%, you mean the rest of the population?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that Madison is the type of community where citizens, you know, want a good community for all of us. But I think that we have some institutional bias built into certain organizations. Sometimes it's built into police organizations. Certainly it's built into employment structures where there is blockage or access entries where African-Americans, Latinos, and others, you know, can't get, you know, equal opportunities for jobs. Same thing with promotions. Sometimes there's the glass ceiling built into infrastructures or different organizations that women, you know, can't go to managerial ranks. You know, we have some inherent biases that have grown into our city government, county government, state governments, and even in the mm-hmm. private sector. But we have to do better as a society in addressing these disparities and biases that really affect women, minorities, and others.
And we leave it there. Ruben Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. Ruben Anthony, President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison, talking about racial disparities in the criminal justice system in light of the Tony Robinson decision this week. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.